£800 Gorilla Records.
Ah, America, the land of opportunities. As writer Marilyn Vos Savant said, "The essence of America is finding and maintaining that perfect, delicate balance between freedom to and freedom from." As you can imagine by now, this third episode of £800 Gorilla is all about the land of stars and stripes. It's true, in the past few years, some Americans have decided to make America great again. But America is already great, isn't it? Well, George Lopez has something to say about that.
We make America great. Everybody that gets up and works hard every day makes America great. It's already great. It's the greatest place to live. Go live somewhere else. We love this country. We're not terrorists. Okay? Latinos aren't terrorists, but I'm going to tell you right now, if we were, we'd be the best. The number one ingredient in making a bomb, fertilizer. You want 10 tons. We're doing a big yard. And we're putting in a fountain. We can't be terrorists because terrorists take responsibility. Latinos, no. It was already like that when I got there. I didn't do it. It was like that. They'll be talking on the news. What happened? I heard a boom and then somebody yelled, "Raiders!" And they ran off. That's how you know we did it. Raiders! So try to build a wall. Go ahead. Try to build it. Use taxpayer money. Even though you said you were going to get Mexico to pay for it, Mexico ain't paying for shit. I could have told you that. We can't even split a fucking check. Get the check. I didn't even need. What's this bullshit? I didn't even need. Kale. I don't need kale. I don't need kale. I'm going to tell you something right now. As long as George Lopez is alive, and my cholesterol level is pretty high, so I don't know. But as long as George Lopez is alive, I promise you, I will never, ever let anyone disparage Latinos or Mexicans as long as I'm alive. I love you, baby. Thank you. When Donald Trump announced he was running for president, he called Mexicans rapists and criminals. When I see him, I'm going to rob him and fuck him. And let me tell you something. You better build that wall in one day. One day you better build that wall, because if you leave all that material out there overnight,
after 2016, some things have changed in the US. People are angrier. But according to Sean McLaughlin, it is fine to be angry. Or is it?
You can't reason with people anymore, though. You can't reason with them. Everyone's too fucking angry. Everyone's fucking furious. I mean, look at me. I'm part of the problem. Of course I am. It became cool to be angry. That's the thing. A few years ago, somehow, it became a cool thing to be angry. Like, all the films now have to star angry anti-heroes. Like, Batman's the big one. Everyone's like, Batman is so cool. He's so dark and angry. Batman is not cool, all right? Batman is me with money. Okay? If Batman didn't have his money, he wouldn't spend his nights driving around town fighting clowns. He'd spend his nights the way I do. He'd be in Tesco Express, swearing at the assistant manager. Because they're giving too much shelf space to, in his opinion, fad biscuits. That's where Batman would be. Fucking orange hobnobs. I want my country back. We all have to be angry. Everything has to be angry now. Everything. Well, fucking films have to be angry. Music, art, politics has to be angry. We want our politicians angry. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, I think politicians should get paid more than they get paid. That's right. You think about the amount of shit they get from idiots like me just for trying to do their job. That's all they're trying. I think the amount of shit I give Vodafone, let alone politicians. Every week I'm on the phone to Vodafone. You fucking idiots. You ingrates. You don't know anything. You don't. I'm not even with Vodafone. You fucking idiots. Imagine what they're getting. That's why I can't judge Trump. I can't judge him. I can't. How could I? He's a billionaire. I stole this shirt from a dog. I can't judge him. I see a lot of myself in Trump. A lot of myself. That's not a pleasant thing, but we have to admit that I do. Both very paranoid. Both on social media too much. Both try and fire people who don't work for us. Both have penis envy that fuels our hatred of the Mexicans. You were very... Build the wall. What I'm saying is any criticism you could throw at him, you could also throw at me. Any criticism. Like people say he's post-truth. I'm post-truth. My whole life's a web of lies. My housemates still think my dad directed Space Jam. You know? But the main thing is, people say he doesn't know anything about other religions. He doesn't know enough for a leader. Now, the truth is, I don't know enough about other religions. If I'm honest, I don't know enough. Like, I was raised Catholic. I was raised Catholic. And the only religious book I know anything about is the Bible. That's the only one. But in my own deluded head, I do think, well, the Bible's the main one. Which it is. It's not better, but it's the main one. Is this weird? There's a reason there isn't a website called Lad Quran. Do you know? Okay. Just figuring out where we are.
FUBAR Radio presents...
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
We've got a legend of Ealing. Andrew Levy from the Brand New Heavies.
Hi guys.
What was it like working with Mr. Ronson?
It took me a year to realise that if I write him an email that's longer than 7 words, including not having my name underneath it or a hello on the top, he will never reply. So it took me
You worked out to the exact size of 7 words on.
7 words.
Where's the song?
That's brilliant.
I'm gonna... Anytime soon?
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
Joined in the studio by Ingrid Oliver, and we're discussing fart jokes. Our favourite fart jokes. If you've got any favourite fart jokes, by all means, write in to...
I've been a fan of. Hashtag,
I've got a fart for you.
Yeah, considering I hate them, well, I'm really talking about them a lot.
I really hate acknowledging...
I saw a filmed insert with the band McFly, and they're in, like, a limo or something, chatting, and one of them farted, it just really made me laugh.
No.
I don't like a cartoon fart thing. I like a fart joke where it appears like someone shat themselves or something.
Oh, the sharks.
Ian Boldsworth.
A perfect run-in that was to speak with Rob Schneider.
First time I ever heard the C word out loud. I mean, I knew that it existed.
Yeah.
Then when I was 13, my first trip to London, England, and like within 45 seconds of being in the country, I had heard the word about 90 times.
Yeah.
Somebody on a double-decker bus had taken somebody else's seat. Next thing you know, I said, "You fucking cunt! You bloody cunt! You fucking cunt!"
Yeah. It's like
Tuesday Takeover.
My name's Josh from The Skints. I'm joined by Holly Cook and Jamie Rodigan in the studio right now.
Yo.
So, Holly, you were out with Kaiser Chiefs earlier. So that's an absolute mazza.
I can tell you that I don't think that Kaiser Chiefs fans really understand Holly Cook. But you've done supports as well. Sometimes it is just a bit weird.
Like, the bigger the band that you're opening up for, the harder it is. You open up for someone that's, like, in the charts, and it's like, we have come to see this band.
Yeah, exactly. They're fans.
We have come to see this band.
Who
do you think you are?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about the land of stars and stripes. Americans have patriotism running through their veins. Sean McLaughlin, however, has never quite understood it.
It's hard to make those sort of jokes today. We don't live in ironic times. We live in sincere times. National pride's on the rise. All over the world, national pride. National pride is something I fundamentally never understood. Never. Because I'm proud of things I've actually done. You know? I don't need to be proud of something my granddad might have achieved. I've achieved things. I've achieved real things in my life. I've read 4 of the 7 Narnias. Yeah. I once prepared and ate a sandwich so quietly, the woman I was having sex with didn't even notice. That's an achievement. But it's hard to talk about nationalism and national... because we don't even really know what a nation is anymore. We don't know what it is. Like, the people talk about multiculturalism, whether it works, whether it hasn't. I'm in favour of multiculturalism, but I don't know, maybe it has gone too far. Who knows? Basically, what I'm trying to say is, I went out for Chinese food recently, and I got attacked, mocked, because I used a fork instead of chopsticks. You let that sink in. My friends were there like, do you not know how to use chopsticks? I was like, it's irrelevant. A fork is better. A fork is better than chopsticks. Brighton, a fork... is this thing on? A fork is better than chopsticks. A fork is so much better than chopsticks, it disproves multiverse theory, okay? Because there's no universe where the fork lost to the chopstick worldwide. There's no universe where people go, in 200 yards, you reach a chopstick in the rose. No one's ever going to say that. When my friends were like, yeah, but you know, chopsticks are part of it. I go, what do you mean they're part of it? Are we here to eat or are we here to be Chinese? Like... what are we here for? Oh, it was so authentic, Sean. It was so authentic. The music, the chopsticks. You know, the owner whipped us because we didn't make enough wallets. It was so authentic. Nothing offensive.
As Harry Truman said, America was built on an unbeatable determination to do the job at hand. Ngoyo Bilam believes America's job at hand rests in consuming the world's most unhealthy foods.
You just get old. You can't help it, man. More salt in the hair, less salt in the diet. That's the thing. But it's hard. It's hard to eat healthy. This is America. We don't eat healthy. We're Americans. We lead the league. We are pioneers. We stay on the cutting edge. We stay on the bleeding edge of designing newer and ever more delicious ways to eat like shit. That's what America does. That's what we do. Oh, you like Doritos? And you like tacos? How about a Dorito taco, motherfucker? Have at that shit. Hell yeah. You start to feel like that pizza is boring and healthy, especially in the crustal area. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take some bacon and some cheese and a fucking hot dog and put it in your pizza crust. Freedom! Right? You take that bacon, cheese, hot dog stuff, pizza crust, you dip that shit in some ranch dressing. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. It tastes like Jesus holding a gun. That's what it tastes like. We did studies. Authentic Jesus holding a gun flavor. Millions in R&D. That's ranch and development. I woke up one morning and walked into my kitchen, and my roommate at the time, she's from the Deep South, I'm from Northern California, she was buttering a Pop-Tart. I had never seen that shit before. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing in my kitchen? I'm buttering my Pop-Tarts. Are you fucking kidding me? Then she gave me a bite, and then I was just mad at her. Like, I wish you had never showed me that. Man, that shit was delicious. But I'm 50, right? I can't start buttering Pop-Tarts. That can't be new. You can't swim enough laps in a day to introduce buttered Pop-Tarts.
Whilst Ngoyo thinks America should pride itself on the best unhealthy foods, Kevin McCaffrey explains how it can lead to a few unsavory scenarios.
I'm not a very political comedian. I don't read almost anything. I do. I know healthcare is a big political topic, right? Here, my whole opinion on healthcare is just we suck, we're bad at it, it doesn't work, really. And I've had insurance and I've not had insurance. And you're it's two very different things, right? You have insurance, especially if you haven't had it in a while. You can stub your toe. You're like, let's see every doctor in the area. Let's really make this insurance work for me. But if you don't have insurance, you could get stabbed. And you'd be like, that's basically acupuncture. Let's just get a good night's rest. Take it easy this weekend. See if it fixes itself. You're not treated the same when you don't have insurance either. And I found that out. I had 103 degree fever for a couple of days. I went into a place and I was greeted by a 300-pound nurse named Calvin. Calvin went to take my heart rate, which is a pretty basic medical maneuver. You count for 6 seconds, you multiply by 10, you get your beats per minute. Calvin tried to count for a full minute, then lost count around second 45. Then went back, tried the multiplying thing, wrote a number down, left. Doctor came in a couple minutes later. She's like, hi, Mr. McCaffrey, how are you? Opened up the book, looked at the number Calvin wrote down, looked horrified. Looked at me, looked back at the number, and went, oh, I'm sorry. Calvin must have multiplied wrong. Calvin wrote down that I had a resting heart rate of 240 beats a minute. And he wasn't even worried about it. He wrote that down and was like, see you in an hour, maybe. Probably not. And if, I get it, we make math mistakes, that's fine. But if you actually believe those numbers, I just would have liked to have gotten the proper diagnosis from there, which would have been Mr. McCaffrey, doctor will be in to see you in a couple of minutes. But before then, you will explode. By round of applause, has anyone else here ever had a fat doctor tell you you're overweight? Oh, congratulations! Your self-esteem, everybody, that must be amazing. I had a very fat doctor tell me I was overweight. I went in, he was like, you're 6'2", 200 pounds, according to the BMI chart, body mass index. That's technically overweight. And I was like, you're overweight. Right? And I swear to God, his response was, oh yeah, big time. That was it. That was the end of the medical advice. There were no diet tips, no suggested workout regimen. Just high-fived and split a plate of mozzarella sticks. It's like, welcome to the lifestyle, brother! And I know I wasn't obese, but I gained 30 pounds since college and I had my first gut. And when you get your first gut, you learn some things. For instance, do you guys know it's possible if you have a gut going on, that when you bend over to tie your shoes, you can just completely run out of oxygen. I did not know that. 25 years in a row since I learned how to tie my shoes, I just nailed it every time. And then I got to a point where I like went down and I like missed the loop on the first try. I was like, I think I got to come back up. I got to get a snorkel and finish the job.
FUBAR Radio presents
Callum McSwiggan.
It's the amazing Abigailiah Shimon.
I lost my virginity on prom night in a cornfield in Ohio.
Wow.
And that is the most American thing I've ever done.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah. What a way to lose it.
Yeah.
In a cornfield.
Yeah, in a cornfield. We had a blanket.
So I remember texting a friend afterwards and I was like, it didn't taste like I thought it was going to. That was my confusion.
Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by the wonderful Ray Black. I woke up to my mum listening to my music and singing along to it. And there's one that's like, it's very explicit. And she was singing along and vibing to it.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
Like, to my sister in the next room, like, oh my God, I can't believe she's listening to this song. Like, this song is about sex. She waltzes into the room and she's like, there's nothing you're doing that I haven't done before. I was like, oh my God.
So we're all learning new things.
There's oh nothing God. You're singing about I haven't done before. So it's fine.
Oh my God.
Joey Page.
I'm joined by Marika Hackman, whose splendid new album, Any Human Friend, is out now. You are just explicitly honest and quite graphic in some places sexually. And do you think it might also be quite difficult when it comes to dating and stuff? Because someone can like basically listen through all this explicit stuff.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
There you go.
Great, yeah. I mean, sorry to bring that to your door. Real turn off.
Yeah, yeah.
Access all areas.
Dan Buswell.
Strictly.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're dating Joe. Yes. He was your dance partner last year, right?
Yes, he
so
was.
I always wanted to ask. Uh-oh. Who put on who first?
It was one of those things, like, obviously during the show, we were honestly so, so busy with learning a routine every week. And it wasn't until after the series that we were like, oh, my gosh, we really did enjoy spending all this time together. And ended up, you know, being together.
It is very, and it's cute that it's managed to succeed outside of the show.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio.
Fubar Radio. Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on Fubar Radio.
Welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on Fubar Radio. This show is all about America. In this next clip, Maz Jobrani gives us the states from an Iranian-American's perspective.
It's funny, my friend Jacques, he texted me, he said, you better have a good show or there's going to be a headline on Fox News tomorrow, Iranian bombs Wiltern. So you people better laugh or we're all going down. Yeah, listen, man, I'll tell you, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys coming out because, you know, my book just came out. My book, you guys, it's, thank you. Yes. Yes, there it is. The book, as you guys know, it's called I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV. And it came out about 4 days ago. And already I've gotten emails from Persians complaining. Some Iranian lady emailed me, Maz, why are you wearing Arab headgear on the cover? You're wearing a kafia, and we are not Arab, we are Persian. I said, you know, actually, the reason I did that, because it's making fun of how Hollywood just mixes us all up together, whether you're Iranian, Arab, Indian, doesn't matter, we all just get thrown in together. And then she comes back, but Maz, we are not terrorists. I go, well, the book clearly states I am not a terrorist. And then she comes back, but Maz, when have Americans ever thought of Iranians as terrorists ever? Never. I was like, apparently you weren't here during the hostage crisis? I was getting my ass kicked. Where were you? And then she goes, Maz, that's water under the bridge. I go, are you kidding me? The movie Argo that was about the hostage crisis just won an Academy Award 2 years ago. She's like, but Ma, I guess, you know what? I emailed her back. I go, the more you write, the more material you're giving me. So she stopped writing. And then this Arab dude wrote me. This Arab dude, Maz, why are you wearing Arab headgear? You're not Arab. I said, you know what? You two need to meet and date each other. You're annoying and you're literally judging a book by its cover. You idiots. Who else here grew up with immigrant parents? Who else grew up with immigrant parents? There you go. There you go, yeah. What's your background? What's your background? Korean and Danish? Wow, that's interesting. Who was the Korean? Who was the Dane? Mom's Korean, dad's the Dane. And what's your name? Nels. So the Dane won in that one. That's not a very Korean name, is it, Nels? Nels, my God, that's awesome. You don't look like a Nels at all. The looks, you got more Korean look than the Danes. Yeah. You got freckles? Korean with freckles? Dude, that's some trippy shit. And she says, let's see it. People, now you're a celebrity. Show us your freckles. The Persians, get up, show the freckles. So Nels, your parents, did they come from where? They came from Korea and Denmark, and they met here. So let me ask you a question. Did you find yourself explaining to them how America works as you grew up? It's not just the language, it's also the system, because there's a lot more rules in America than a lot of other places. Like where I come from, Iran, there's a lot more rules. Like for, like even like the movie rating system. Like back in Iran, there's no real, they don't really care with the ratings, whatever. They just go, no big deal. Like to this day, Nels, when I do a show at a comedy club, I'll say PG-13, 13 and older, because there might be some adult language, okay? And whenever I announce that, the Americans who've been here a long time will bring their 13-year-olds. The Middle Easterners bring their 6-year-olds. Nels, I was doing a show. This Persian dude showed up with a 6-year-old. I go, dude, what part of PG-13 don't you understand? There might be some cussing in the show. He goes, Maz, don't worry. I cuss at him all the time. That's why I bring him, so you can cuss at him too. He is big disappointment. 6 years old, not a doctor. Can you believe that? I'm going to send them back to Iran to a study. We don't understand movie ratings. I came to America when I was 6 years old. I came to America. My parents didn't know what PG, parental guidance, meant. My dad thought parental guidance, that meant that you get to drop your kid off at the movie. And the movie will give him parental guidance for 2 hours while you go shopping for furs and chandeliers. My dad, what a great country. Just leave the kid and go. Fantastic. Very good. Maybe we can find double feature. We can go buy more furs and chandeliers or something. They didn't know. I was 8 years old. They dropped me off at The Exorcist. They thought it was a movie about exercising. They came to get me. I was like, ah! My dad turned to my mom. These pussies are scared of exercising. Go back inside. Watch again. You keep watching till you're no longer scared of exercising. We are going to go buy some more furs and chandeliers. That's the other thing, Nels. I'll tell you that right now. Immigrants love their chandeliers. Do Koreans love their chandeliers? Not as much, huh? What's that? Plastic bags? Koreans love plastic bags? Are you serious? You know what you've done now. Every time anyone here goes to a shopping center, Ralph's, they're going to be looking at the Koreans to see what bag they choose at the checkout. I'll be like, look, they're going to choose plastic. Trust me, it's going to be plastic. Paper or plastic? Plastic! I knew it! What's your name? Tom, and are you also... You're half Korean, and what's the other half? White American. So the white guy, Tom, won in that one. Fantastic. Wow, it's crazy. I'll tell you guys were saying the Koreans are not that into chandeliers. A lot of immigrant cultures are into chandeliers. I've been talking to the South Americans, Argentinians love them, the Arabs, Lebanese, you guys love, I'll tell you how much Iranians love chandeliers. I'll tell you how much, I know Iranians, we love our chandeliers. Listen, I know Iranians who, when they left Iran at the revolution, they shipped their chandeliers to America in first class. And they made their kids escape over the Afghan mountains. And they were like, well, I have one plane ticket. We know who's going to get that. The light of my life. Literally. Oh my God.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. Joined now by Kadeem Ramsey. So we're talking about Top Boy, which Nat's a bit obsessed with. And you come in with branded Top Boy gear. Are you contractually obliged to do that?
No, I just like it.
It's good. Look, you wear it well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it looks good.
I just feel like wearing it.
Nice
today.
Hoodie.
The only show I watch currently is Top Boy. I've been watching Top Boy over and over.
I love that you watch your own show. That's really great.
No, that's not only it.
Are you going for your Top Boy tattoo after you've done this interview? Right across your forehead.
I'm scared.
Are you really?
Yeah,
are you?
I don't want to be getting a tattoo and the guy says, whoops, that's one thing I don't want to hear.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's fan club.
We're joined in the studio now by one of my favourite comedians, Rhys James. I always say in taxis and stuff like that, I always say I'm a writer.
Yeah, me too. Have I told you this story before?
No.
The time I got in a taxi, and I always used to do that writer because you don't want to have the conversation with the taxi driver about being a comedian.
But the follow-up question is just that you can't get out of, which is, what do you write?
Yeah, yeah.
I write sitcoms.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So I was in this taxi. He goes, what sort of stuff do you write? And I went, comedy. I thought, that page. And then he went, oh, what type of comedy do you write? And I said, satire. And then, and then the taxi driver said, you know what they say? Satire is the lowest form of wit.
Joey Page.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. Do you find when you've been, like, obviously rehearsals and filming and that takes a real long time, do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did called London Fields where I was covered in tattoos. I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film, and it started to rub off on me, and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life, and someone nearly ran me over in a car, and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out.
I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about the land of stars and stripes. It is fair to say America has never been more divided. Here, Kevin Bozeman tells us why he had to buy a North Face jacket after moving neighborhood.
You can't have freedom of thought anymore, you know? Share your opinions, people get mad at you, no one hold themselves accountable. Like, I hold myself accountable, uncomfortably so. Like, I'm a strong believer in Black Lives Matter, but I also know there's a lot of black people that I want the police to shoot. I would like to ride in the back of a police car and help them figure out who to shoot. Help me help you. That's a drug dealer. That's a deadbeat dad. I owe that dude $300. He won't drop it. We gotta shoot them all. It's time to clean up the community. I'm just... Don't shake your head at me, lady. I'm just saying. See what I'm saying? What? Wait, what do you mean? You can do both. You can respect the police and also hold them accountable. Like, I have a brother that was a police officer for 20 years. What am I supposed to do? An unarmed black teenager gets shot? Am I supposed to call him and be like, you next? You know the rules. We lose one, you lose one. I better not see you at mama's house over the holidays. I just tired of it. Politics is the worst, too. Nobody holds themselves accountable. Everyone just supports their politics blindly. I hate politics to the core. I don't even like the fact that we allow them to call themselves parties. Who's going to these shitty-ass parties? I'm not. And hey, man, the Democrats are having a party. It's bring your own booze. And you get there, they're like, some people didn't bring their booze, so you gotta share yours. No thanks, Democrats. This time shall patrol. And why wouldn't you just go to a Republican party? Because I'd be the only black person there, and that's uncomfortable. Oh, you seen their conventions? Now he's finding that one black dude, they keep putting the camera on him. And they start moving him around wearing different hats and shit. Like, why is Ben Carson wearing a rodeo hat? Moved out to the suburbs. As soon as I moved to the suburbs, I bought a North Face coat to let white people know I was safe. Relax, whiteys. I'm trying to raise a family. Here's my badge. Every black person should invest in a North Face coat. It's a game changer. Police pull you over, they let you go. He's got a North Face coat. Put that gun away, Johnson. Get home safely, sir. Only thing we ask, you stop running red lights and wipe that cocaine off your nose. Sure thing, officer. Here's a Pepsi. It's a really white suburb. That's all I'm saying. I love it too. Love it. Because I'm the only black person on my block, which means I'm the most important person on my block. Because I single-handedly control the value of all the homes on my block. I love that power. I throw it in my neighbor's face all the time. See him at Starbucks, I'm like, you better buy my coffee or else I'm going to have a cookout. Watch the value of your house drop 10 G's. Get to it, Chip. You know what I like. I live in a cul-de-sac, too. I mean, oh. That is prime white people real estate right there. Who knew that a block that ended in a semicircle has such value? And you know, the cul-de-sac was. So like 4 years ago, I grew up in the hood. There's no cul-de-sacs in the hood. You can't have drive-bys and cul-de-sacs. Unless you hate all three houses. You roll over, you're like, yo, blast them fools, man. All right, now cut the wheel. Put it in reverse. Creep up a little bit. Blast them fools, man. Cut the wheel again. One more house. Stay focused. It's a drive around. Some of you are laughing and some of you are uncomfortable. I don't.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet Rose.
I'm joined by Post Malone.
Hi. First time I went to Wetherspoons, I was in Wolverhampton. It was like the first time I bought my legal beer. It was awesome.
I'm so sorry that was your first.
No, listen, I love it. It's emblazoned in my mind.
So you've kind of got like a deep connection with Wetherspoons.
Wetherspoons is actually my life.
Was it inspiration for the album?
Yeah. I wrote it all at a Wetherspoons.
Have you eaten at a Wetherspoons?
No, I've never eaten there.
Okay.
Just drank. So you like dinner from Wetherspoons?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking shit.
Well, no, I am a little bit. It's shit.
But it's still good. Well, let's go.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville.
Kabaka Pyramid is our third and final guest of the day.
I just did my favorite thing for the first time on Sunday. I went to the Arsenal Tottenham game.
Yeah! Yes! Gooner as well!
Gooner!
Of course, okay. Gooner! Okay. I had no doubt!
Okay.
I had no doubt!
I saw the red and I was like,
Tottenham.
This white guy was sitting on beside us and it's like, everybody just excited and the trio were just hugging each other.
Honestly, I think only two things can get you doing that. Yeah. Music and football.
Exactly. Yeah, for real. It brings people together. Races, everything. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure. Callum McSwiggan.
Today I am joined by the absolute legends from Pussy Palace. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
You have a lot of people say, you know, oh, we have LGBT plus spaces, everything's fine, everyone's included. But I don't feel like they are, and I don't feel like they are inclusive enough.
It's like you're walking around holding your breath. And it was only until I went to Pussy Palace that I could actually like, oh, this is what breathing feels like.
Yeah.
But I wasn't umming and ahhing about what I was dressed, how I was presenting, and like what ramifications that would have for me.
Yeah, the evolution of Pussy Palace has really created that, like, oh, there's community.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. This show is all about America. The right to bear arms, the most controversial amendment of the Constitution. Can Cy Amundsen dissect it and come up with a solution to the problem in 5 minutes?
I just think people are becoming so black and white. Like, I think important issues are gray, and everybody is getting so cemented in what they think. You need to stay a little bit gray. I think a great example of one of those concepts is guns. Let's talk about guns. See if we can turn this room into a Facebook thread. I have been on all sides of it. I've seen all of it. My dad is an outdoorsman. I grew up, we always had guns. So as a kid, I thought you should get to have whatever you want, which is an intense opinion for a 9-year-old. It's a tough thing to see in the halls of an elementary school, like, you can have it when you take it out of my cold, dead, tiny hands. It's a pretty harsh stance for someone without pubes. And then I got a little older, and I got to shoot a gun for the first time. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but holy shit, it's the best. That's the problem with the argument, is people try to lie. They say guns aren't cool. They're not. That's like saying smoking isn't cool. Like, does smoking cause cancer? For sure. But do you also look like the king of the cowboys? 100%. Don't lie to people. Cigarettes and guns are awesome. They're in all of the movies. I remember the first time I shot a gun, I blew a pop can up. And I was like, oh boy, this forever. But that doesn't hold weight in an educated conversation. You can't be at a dinner party and have someone go, Sai, what do you think of the gun debate? Well, I like to make the pop can go sploosh, sploosh. See, it used to be a Coca-Cola, and then I pulled the trigger, and da-da-da, it ain't a Coca-Cola no more, rick-a-doo. So I just grew up, and I thought you should get to have whatever you want. And then I got older, and I started meeting other people, and I was like, oh, this is why they want to take the guns away. Have you met Todd down in accounts receivable? He could just have a gun. Uh-oh. The seminal moment for that for me, I was at a gun range in Florida with my brother Jess. We were shooting. I was having a rough day. I was missing. I made the mistake of voicing that. I said, oh man, I can't hit the target today. That's when the fella in the gun stall next to us, who we did not arrive with, leaned out and went, hey man, hey, sometimes when I'm missing, I just like to focus and pretend the targets are people I don't like. What a coincidence, because sometimes I like to pretend that you don't own a fucking gun. Are you for real right now? That's an at-home sentence. That's not a gun range sentence. That's in the top three of shit you shouldn't say at the gun range. Right up there with Sieg Heil and Where is the President? It's at-home stuff. Say it there so your wife could be like, we heard you the first 12 times, Vince, so either do something about it or shut the fuck up. So here is where I've landed on the difficult gray issue of guns. I used to work at a coffee chain restaurant, and when I got my job there, I had to fill out a 100-question personality test. 100 question personality test. So I could go, turtle mocha for David? You want a decaf? Guys, that was a decaf turtle mocha for David? 100 questions. All I'm pitching is 5 for a gun. Just a 5-question questionnaire. And all you gotta do is ask the right questions. You'll get rid of all the concerning people. Just ask the right questions. Question number 1, what are you gonna do with your gun? Question number 2, nah, for real. Question number 3, true or false, white is right. Question number 4, true or false, I've had it up to about here with my coworkers. And question number 5, true or false, sometimes I like to pretend the targets are people that I do not like.
Can you compare a lion going from the zoo back to the jungle to a Mexican going back to Mexico from America? It shouldn't work, right? But George Lopez makes it so.
You don't need less immigrants in this country. You need more. Okay, you need more. Or raise your own kids. Cook your own food. Pick the grapes for your own fucking wine. Do Latino lives matter? You're fucking right. If you ever want to fucking eat again, they matter. You like strawberries? Don't hurt them. All right, then. When I was 13, my grandfather told me, I got you a job for the summer. I said, what is it? And he said, you'll see. And I'm like, it's never good when he said, you'll see. He said, you'll see. I said, doing what? No, vas a ver, cabrón. Use the van comms, you'll get in. I said, oh, I'm not getting in. Yeah, you are. It was picking tomatoes in Sacramento for the summer. And I said, I'm not doing it. He goes, you are. He said, you're not Mexican? I'm like, yeah, but not like that. All right. Not like that. Somebody told me to go back to Mexico. I'm fourth generation. I don't know anybody in Mexico. Be wandering around. Hey. I know you. Yeah? You look like Cheech Fuck Chong. What? I go to Mexico. You don't realize how American you are when you go to Mexico. You're right there eating in a restaurant. Everybody's drinking, having fun, mariachi and shit. You're the only one. Hi. There's a lot of flies in here. You don't have screens for any of these windows. All right. And can you tell that kid to stop singing? I'm not paying for any of those fucking songs. And I don't want any gum. God damn it. We can't go back to Mexico. That's like taking a lion from the zoo who's only known the zoo life and taking the lion to the jungle. That fucking lion would be... How come it don't smell like popcorn no more? You hear another lion? Fucking peed. Shit. What's that? That's a lion. Fuck. I don't sound like that. He's mad. Where's the lady with the bucket and the meat and the kids? Hey. Let me tell you something. It's hard to convince Latinos the shit that other people miss work for. Chronic fatigue syndrome. ¿Qué es eso? I have chronic fatigue syndrome. You're always tired? Yes. And you only have one job. Repetitive motion. You're missing work because you have to do a repetitive motion. My boss just expects so much from me. Yeah, fucking mine too. Don't fuck with those people because they can't be taking jobs. Let me tell you something. Just because you don't want to work the hours they work, don't say that they're stealing jobs. I got in an elevator at 2:30 in the morning. I said, you're working late. No, no, porque yo tengo que trabajar. Why would I even assume that somebody working at 2:30 spoke English? Come on. Chingado, soy mexicana, cabrón, trabajando, chingue su madre, ponle el botón, cabrón. Can you push number 5? 5? Okay, 5. Cállese, cabrón. For $30 billion, you could get Latinos in Mexico to line up and be their own wall. You get paid. Ponte right here. You want $500? Stand right here. Line up. $500. $500. Don't let nobody pass or they're going to get mad. That man's going to get mad. After 8 hours, chingale bato. You're next. Put right there.
FUBAR Radio presents Politics Matters with Eleanor Penny, general election coverage.
We have on the line here Molly Scott-Cato, who is a Green MEP.
Hello.
You have on social media previously cast a bit of doubt on bringing workers from like our current very carbon-intensive economy into a green sustainable.
I absolutely challenge the fact that I don't think it should be a just transition. Our manifesto is about social justice as well as climate justice.
The Labour Party are also committed to a 2030, which brings me on to...
Hang on, can I just finish what I was saying there? What Labour are saying is they will do their best to get onto a pathway to net zero carbon by 2030. That's a completely different thing from saying we will reach that target.
Politics Matters with Eleanor Penny, general election coverage.
Every Tuesday from 12 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. This show is all about America. With police being a controversial issue in the States, Brandon Vestal shows a different scenario.
I don't know if you guys have heard, but the state of California, we legalized marijuana. Did you guys hear about that? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My friend got so excited the night it passed. We were out eating at this restaurant, and it came across the TV that it passed. He got so excited. He stood up in the restaurant. He's like, "This is it, bro. This is it, man. We're going to smoke weed whenever, wherever we want." I was like, "Marijuana was illegal?" Well, they should have made a TV commercial and got the word out, because I don't think anybody knew that. Whenever I go in California, everybody's high. Everybody, you're going to think what I'm about to tell you right now is an exaggeration or a flat-out lie, but it's a true story. About 4 years ago, I got pulled over by a high cop. I'm not kidding. He was high, too. There was no hiding it. He came to my window. He's like, "Excuse me, sir." "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I'm like, "No, officer, I don't. I was kind of wondering that myself." He's like, "Damn." "Well, now I have you stopped here, you do look kind of suspicious. So I think I'm going to check your car for snacks." He's like, "I don't have any snacks in my car, sir." He's like, "By the power invested in me by the state of California, I demand you to take me to get some snacks." I was like, "Well, can we take your car?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Can I drive real fast? I'm on the highway with the siren on." He's like, "Hell yes." And that's what we did. It's my favorite LA day. I'll never forget it. It's the day I got my gun.
The landscape of America is so vast that the most convenient way to travel is by a plane. But do planes have a mind of their own? Brandon thinks so.
I had a flight a few weeks ago from LA to Charlotte and had a layover in Baltimore. We landed in Baltimore, we get 20 yards from the gate. I can see it out the window. And the plane stopped. And the pilot came on. I was like, "Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be here a while. We got to wait for a tow. This plane can't just drive up. We got to tow it in." I never heard of that. And we waited like 40 minutes for the tow. And during that time, he just kept coming on like, "Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this model plane needs a tow. It's no big deal. This model plane," he just kept saying that. I was like, "You mean the model plane that just took off from Los Angeles, California, used two huge engines to get up to 30,000 feet, soared from sea to shining sea like a proud bald American eagle, used its fancy gizmos and gadgets on board to locate one strip of concrete in Baltimore, Maryland, landed safely, got 20 yards from the gate, and all of a sudden that same plane is like, nah. Mm-mm, I am tired. America's big."
FUBAR Radio presents
Harriet Rose.
Ruth Ann is here!
Hi!
By the way, never expected to like Niall Horan's solo stuff.
I love how you're calling him Niall Horan. You know it's Niall Horan.
Oh, fucking hell.
But I love that! I've got a voice note of him and tell him Niall Horan. Well, he's probably heard that before.
Please,
but he's Irish,
don't.
So it's Niall Horan. But yeah.
Niall Horan.
Whatever. Say
sorry, Niall Horan.
Say it whatever way you want.
Niall
Horan.
No,
I'm questioning it. No, it is Niall Horan. Yeah, because it's Horan.
Dude, you're fucking Irish.
I know,
of course
yes,
you're going to get
Irish.
It right.
Harriet Rose. Every Thursday from 4 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, and welcome back to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio. Today's show is all about the American dream. Many Americans are striving to pursue a career in Hollywood. Judy Gold details the struggles that can be encountered.
Now, I have an agent named Jamie who I adore, and he's so gay, I call him Gamey. Anyway, but... You know, being my age, I know you're looking at me thinking you must go on so many auditions. There's so many people like you on television. So, Jamie will literally call me, and every time he has an audition for me, there's a story about how difficult it was to get the audition. All right, so here's an example. Hi, Judy. It's Jamie. Listen, I have an audition for you next week. It's a Coen Brothers film feature. Really excited about it. I'm going to send over the script. Now... When you get to your character's description, do not be alarmed. It says morbidly obese African American. But I called casting, I spoke with them directly, and I said, will you go tall white? And they're very interested. This is every audition. Like then, you know, 6 months later, hi Judy, it's Jamie, I got you a great audition. Oh, what's going on? So Netflix is doing a miniseries about a woman who transitions into a man and then decides she wants to transition back into a woman. Now, they were going to go male, but I called casting and I spoke with them directly and I said, Judy Gold! And they are so into the idea. This is every fucking audition. So... So he calls me up. He's like, Judy, it's Jamie. I have an audition for you. It's tomorrow. It's a voiceover. I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Because no one gives a shit what you look like when you go on a voiceover audition. I was like, oh my God, thank you. Thank God. He's like, it's tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So I'm going to send all the info over. Good luck. And I'm like, wait a minute. What's it for? He's like, well, it's a commercial. And if it goes, they're going to do a lot of them. It's ker-ching, ker-ching. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a lot of money. And I said, okay, well, what's the voice for it? I swear to God, he's like, well, they're looking for someone to be the voice of an irritated vagina. So I said, fuck you, I'm hanging up. He's like, no, Judy, I swear to God, it's a new pharmaceutical drug, it's some new drug, they're looking for someone to be an irritated vagina. I immediately thought of you. I was like, fuck you, but in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so perfect for this, right? So... So I go on in the audition, okay? And there's all these women, you know, waiting in the waiting room my age, you know, 35, 36, and they're all sitting there. And I walk in. And so the guy who wrote the commercial, I'm going to say like late 50s, you know, he's sitting on the couch. And next to him is some ad exec who probably wants to kill herself. She probably went to Harvard Business School with mommy's daughter, wants to kill herself. And then there's the guy who's doing the mic. So... I go in and the guy who wrote it is like, he thinks it's the most brilliant idea. So he's like, Judy, thank you so much for coming in. I'm like, no problem. Do you have any questions? I said, well, my agent said that you wanted the voice of the vagina just, to sound irritated. Great question. Yeah. What we're looking for in the voice of the vagina is an irritation. It doesn't come from, frustration or anger. The irritation is a result of pain. Let me give you an example. This is how he's talking, like he's fucking Francis Ford Coppola. It's a talking vagina, okay? Let me give you an example. You're at home, you're under the weather, you have a conference call. for work and you sound a little irritated on the phone because you're not feeling well. That's the sort of irritation we're looking for in the tone of their vagina. I said, okay, I'm a painfully irritated vagina. Okay, got it. And then I'm thinking, what are they going to show on the screen? I mean, they can't show a real vagina talking. It's got to be like an animated thing, you know? Like that purple thing in that depression commercial that follows that woman around, you know what I'm talking about? Where the woman's like finally out of the house after 3 years and is having a picnic and the purple thing's there like, hey, you're still a loser. You have no friends. You're going to cry when you get home.
You've been listening to the third episode of 800 Pound Gorilla. Unfortunately, this is everything for today. Don't miss out on the next episode, always on FUBAR Radio.
That was comedy with 800 Pound Gorilla on FUBAR Radio.